Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today I'll be joined by Catholic singer-songwriter Matt Maher, whose new album asks the question, how do we echo our faith? Matt has seen our culture's desperate need for the heart of the Christian message, so we'll be addressing how each of us can live out our faith more fully. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is singer-songwriter Matt Maher. An 8-time Grammy nominee, Matt has produced some of Christian music's most memorable hit songs through the years. Songs like Your Grace is Enough and Because He Lives. And his latest album, titled Echoes, is another triumph because it addresses our common human journeys through joy and pain and how Jesus is by our side through everything. I'm going to talk to Matt about the personal nature of this album that was shaped by an event in his own life. But first, I want to share a clip from one of his songs. Here is Matt Maher singing Clean Heart.
When everybody's looking for another fight, when trouble's on the rise, no end in sight. Oh, Savior, won't you come and make the wrong things right? Let me be the place you start. Give me a clean heart.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and we just heard a clip of Matt Maher singing Clean Heart off his album Echoes, and I want to welcome Matt back to the show right now. Matt, it's great to have you on the show again.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Now, I wanted to start with a clip of the song Clean Heart, because to me it captures what I've been feeling and what I think a lot of people have been feeling. There's this anger and divisiveness in our culture today. I find it spiritually and emotionally draining. But with this song, you're holding a mirror up to the problem, holding a mirror up to, I think, us as citizens, as listeners, and you're offering a solution of sorts. So tell me about the inspiration for Clean Heart.
My wife, this is last December, my wife had said to me, hey, you should, I feel like you're supposed to write a song based on Psalm 51.
Okay.
And so I went back into my studio, pulled up the Psalm and just read it, and then kind of wandered around in my studio. It's kind of a big open room, and out sort of came that phrase and that melody. I think what it does come down to is that everybody right now feels like we're in this era, this age of divisiveness, and we don't know necessarily, you know, how do you respond? And mm-hmm. I think the song itself is sort of a reflection on first of all, it's sort of the realization that you can't change anyone else. You can only change yourself. Mm-hmm. And even that you can't do without the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the best thing to do, you know, and I think in some ways, you know, with our Catholic faith, there's a reason why Mass, after the opening song, begins with the Confiteor. Because we're basically all showing up. We're all coming in the door saying, mea culpa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the words in Latin. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maximum culpa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through my fault, through my most grievous fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's everybody's starting point. It's not just the starting point for the pagan. It's not just the starting point for the atheist. It's not just the starting point for the marginal Christian. It's the starting point for everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, in some ways, what I wanted to try to do was to sort of remind people that. And then I think too, you know, like the bridge of the song, I mean, the second verse of the song talks about mercy. You know, sometimes from our human perspective, we measure out mercy when mercy's a flood. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I think there's a reason why Jesus said to St. Faustina that mercy's an ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he didn't say lake, he didn't say river, he didn't say, you know, thimble, he said ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And like the thing that covers 90% of the earth.
Yeah.
So I think all of that was sort of, you know, kind of in me when the song was kind of written. You know, and the bridge talks about, you know, from the cross, Jesus blessed his persecutors.
Mm-hmm.
He blessed those who were mocking him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, sort of that's the that's the mandate on the life of every Christian.
I'm talking to Matt Maher about his album Echoes. His website is mattmaharmusic.com. Just since we're talking about mercy, I was watching on YouTube your Echoes release concert from New York City, and I heard you talking about your dad, who I know his death while you were working on this album really shaped how it came out. And you were telling this story about before he fell into a coma, I think he said, like, God needs to forgive him and forgive him. And that ties into you putting the hymn Just As I Am on the album. So just how do those two ideas tie together, the song and that event?
Well, that shook me to the core. You know, my dad actually grew up Catholic and went to seminary. Did sort of the pre-first year, but like he went to the university that was the seminary in my hometown. Or the school, St. Bonaventure's College. It was a preparatory college. So he did a year there. And while he was there, his father fell ill. And my dad sort of did the whole, God, if you, you know, spare my dad's life, I'll become a priest. Which is not, you know, you don't make deals with God. That's not how it works. So what happened was, is he got ill. He was in poor health, and he was in a coma. And before he went and fell into the coma, which was sort of medically induced because his kidneys, he went through renal failure. Before that happened, he was sort of the last moment he was still lucid. My cousin was there visiting, and he said to her, you know, get Matt. I need to get right with God. I need God to forgive me. So that was in the middle of March. Well, about 5 days less than 2 days. 2 days prior, which was the day that he first went into the hospital, I'd written the song Just As I Am. And then in the stress and the confusion of the whole situation with my dad, I forgot about the song. And it wasn't until the month of June I ran into one of the other writers at an award show in Nashville. And sort of immediately the Holy Spirit brought up that song. And, you know, that song was written by Charlotte Elliott, Just As I Am, the original hymn. She wrote it in a time of existential crisis about her faith. She needed to remind herself what was true. So for me, as soon as I heard the demo of the song and sort of like remembered the song, all I could think of was my dad, like profoundly, in a very profound way, you know. There was almost as if the Holy Spirit was saying, like, you know, and there's so much of a mystery of the human heart and, you know, what goes on. That's the one of the things I love about my faith and I love about being Catholic is our understanding of mercy and our understanding of God's capacity to forgive people. It just goes beyond our human understanding. And so that song has just, has become permanently linked to those moments in my father's life, which I don't know anything about this side of heaven.
Right.
Because he wasn't conscious. But, you know, but like I said, on that rooftop, I got to spend a week by his bedside praying with him. And even though he wasn't conscious, it was a profound, it's a holy experience. And it's forever changed me.
I'm talking to Matt Maher about his album, Echoes, and we're just talking about his dad passing away and how it shaped not just the song Just As I Am, but the whole album. And the album is titled Echoes, as I just said. And so I'm curious, how does that idea of echoes convey the theme of this album?
Well, it sort of this, the question really, which is how do you pass on your faith? You know, the number one question that we're really sort of asking right now in Christianity is how do we pass on our faith? You know, some people say evangelization, some people say discipleship, some people say, you know, winning new souls to heaven. You know, but and what the church would say is that, you know, that process of handing on the treasure that we've been given in Jesus is called catechesis. That's the fancy word for it, right? That's what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And that word means to pass on the deposit of faith. So it's how do you do that more from a standpoint of just personal testimony? Because it's less, life is not a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what I realized was that as a human being, because I have three kids under six, my kids learned how to talk by echoing their mother and I.
Okay.
They literally repeat things they hear.
Okay.
That's how they communicate.
Yeah.
And I realized in faith, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was born and raised Catholic, but I didn't really take my faith seriously until I was 20. And in the following 18 years of being in Phoenix, and, you know, I would say 13 of those years being in local parish ministry, so much of my faith was formed by listening to the people around me and the things they said and the things they emphasized. And I turned around and did the same thing. And I don't really talk about this on the record, but it's just sort of a unique, we live in a unique time where people more and more are communicating the same way in some sense. Most people now are communicating ideas by sharing something someone else said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We it's 'cause they call it confirmation bias.
Yeah.
So you have a belief, or you have a, whether it's religious or if it's political or if it's economic or if it's social, and you read something online and it appeals to you on an emotional level. And so without even thinking, wait, do I actually completely line up with this? Does this, instead of saying, having a critical brain and saying, okay, do I agree with this in one aspect, but this other aspect, it's not consistent with what my faith teaches.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really do that anymore. We just sort of say, emotionally, yes. And we turn around and we share things that other people say, and we create an echo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, there was a book written by N.T. Wright, who's a famous Anglican theologian, it's called Simply Christian, and he talks about how, which I thought that was just very much, it echoed
mm-hmm.
of words that John Paul II said, when there's a very famous quote of his, it is Jesus that you seek when you dream of happiness. I think it was at World Youth Day 2002.
Okay.
And, he is the one who's basically, he's the one whispering in your ear the desire to improve yourselves, making your life more fraternal, to improve society. Jesus is the one who's telling you to dream the big dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To
yeah.
live life abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And what N.T. Wright said is that all of humanity hears the echo of a voice who calls for the wrong things to be made right.
Yeah.
And that really is the voice of Jesus,
Yeah. I'm talking to Matt Maher. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and we're talking about his album called Echoes. And, there's a seriousness to the songs on the album, but I think the album also conveys a lot of joy, especially in a track like What a Friend, which is just a great tune. And, I mean, even Jesus talked about making our joy complete, but we as Christians don't always practice that joy as a hallmark of Christianity. How do you think a song like What a Friend, as well as others on the album, how do they remind us of our need for joy?
I mean, hopefully, yeah. I mean, my kids remind me of my need for joy every single day.
That's great.
There's always stuff to be stressed out about.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up today and there's, million and one professional, this person needs this, this person has this question, this person,
mm-hmm.
Even this interview, we got delayed by an hour. We were supposed
yeah.
to do it an hour ago, and you were so nice to let me call in an hour later, talk to you an hour later. That stuff's just never ending. And Jesus says there's going to be some trouble
mm-hmm.
in life. There's literally in the world, you will have trouble, actually, is what he says.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but I leave you my peace. And I think that joy is something that I think every Christian is supposed to carry with them. It's
mm-hmm.
different than just happiness. And it creates an ability, I think, to take the hits that life gives you and keep your head up, keep your chin up, and learn to kind of laugh about it in a way. I mean, not in the sense that you don't care, but
yeah.
One of my old priest friends, when he was in seminary, he always tells the story that their theology professor was giving a lecture on joy.
Mm-hmm.
He gave this whole textbook thing, and at the end of it, he said, "And men, remember this: joy is no laughing matter." It is sort of, I think that's in some ways the problem, in the sense that, you know, Jesus comes to, I think, well, it's the great thing about the faith. It's the faith kind of, when you get baptized, everything gets immersed, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
And so obviously, you're the Christian life, things are supposed to get tempered.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what happens a lot of time is I think our piety gets in the way of our joy.
Okay, yeah.
We just take ourselves too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than ever, man, there was this great quote by C.S. Lewis. He talked about, we must imagine hell as a place where, I mean, it literally describes the Western society right now.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I'll, do you mind if I just grab it really quick?
Sure, go ahead.
we must picture hell as a state where everyone is perpetually concerned about his own dignity and advancement, where everyone has a grievance, and where everyone lives with the deadly serious passions of envy, self-importance, and resentment.
Wow. That is timely.
And I think, yeah, it's extremely timely. And I think the self-importance part is really, really important, I think, particularly for people in ministry. Because I think there is this sense of, like, you know, very quickly, when you have a platform, it can feed your narcissism, and all of a sudden you think that you're really, really integral to the mission of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the point. God doesn't need us to advance the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
But he loves us. And, you know what I mean?
And
it's this great quote of like someone saying like, I just want God to use me. I just want God to use me. And I think about the quote from John Paul II, where it's like and love and responsibility, that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's use. So I don't want God to use me.
Mm-hmm.
To use somebody replies that you don't care about them.
Yeah, yeah.
You're literally treating them like an object.
Right.
I mean, to me, it's I want to be in a relationship with God and with the church. And the process of living that out is messy and difficult, and we need grace to do it. And if there's not evidence of joy in my life, then that's something that I need to talk about with someone.
Yeah.
And the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think another song, it's more of a reflective song than What a Friend, but there's a beauty in it and a joy in it. The song As Good As It Gets, which has to do with living more mindfully in the present moment. What do you want to convey with that song?
I think too many people spend their time living in the past or living in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We're either walking around with great regret, or our capacity for love or forgiveness is based on the past, based on things that have happened to us, or we're living afraid of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And we miss out on the present moment. I mean, we so many people end up making decisions based on worst case scenario living.
Sure. Yeah.
And, there's nothing wrong with being realistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that if it also affects your capacity, once again, to love, and if it affects your capacity to be truly present, I like to say it this way, that heaven is about an eternal now.
Okay, right.
Time is sort of a construct of this material universe that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
But in the heaven, I mean, there is no past.
Yeah.
As far as we know,
mm-hmm.
there's no future. Everything is. And I think that's what ushering in the kingdom of God is about. It's about helping people live in a way that's truly present. Because it's all you have is this moment.
Yeah. No, and I think what you said before about how your kids bring you joy, you know, that's as good as it gets is kind of how I interpret what you're saying in that song, that joy you get from your kids.
Yeah, and it's more of a thing of saying, like, that phrase is such a glass half empty phrase
mm-hmm.
in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And really what I wanted to say was that being present with God in the moment it can't get better, because that's what heaven is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think it's trying to take a very bittersweet phrase that people use to kind of get by, and to say, no, use that phrase to declare in the moment that God is as good as it gets.
I'm talking to Matt Maher. We're discussing his album, Echoes. His website is mattmahermusic.com. I also want to just touch on, because you performed for Pope Francis several times, but this past June you had a special meeting with him as part of the John 17 movement. So tell us a little bit about that, and what is the goal of the John 17 movement?
Yeah, John 17 was started by folks from Long Island and then Phoenix.
Okay.
There's The Holy Fathers have longstanding great personal friendships with several evangelical pastors while he was Bishop of Buenos Aires. And they just had a friendship. They would meet together. They would get together. They would pray together.
Mm-hmm.
There was a gathering in 2006 sponsored by the Charismatic Renewal and the Evangelical Church together in Buenos Aires. And that's where I think some of those friendships stem from. And John 17 sort of started in Phoenix with Bishop Olmsted, who's there, and several pastors. And really the hope of it is to create a movement of what they're calling relational reconciliation. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, ecumenism for the past 100 years has been largely academic in its endeavor, and it's mostly been people coming together, publishing joint papers, you know, having very kind of highbrow conversations about important substantive differences.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't hear me that I don't think ecumenism is about not discussing those substantive differences, because they're very, very big differences and they have big implications.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, with the Second Vatican Council and the Church's decree on the unity of all Christians, one of the things that got happened in that during the Second Vatican Council was this whole idea of if you're not a Catholic, you are anathema. that was lifted.
Mm-hmm.
That was lifted in the sense that what the Second Vatican Council, you know, kind of the council fathers got together and sort of prayed through, and what the Holy Spirit helped illuminate to them is that, look, we're all Christians. If you're baptized and if you're following Jesus, we're all following Jesus on a journey towards, you know, Jerusalem or the New Jerusalem. And on the way, God wants to bring us to a closer and closer state of full communion with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that isn't going to happen by the universal church compromising the teachings of the magisterium. That's not going to happen. That's not what ecumenism is. However, what can happen is that the foundational truths that Christians of all denominations share can be the basis for a friendship to form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like essentially saying, like, listen, we're headed in the same direction,
mm-hmm.
and we're both trying to love Jesus. We should stop beating up on each other and get to know one another.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. And I would assume, as a Catholic in the Christian music industry, which is largely evangelical or Protestant, I guess that's of key importance to you, because you've gotten to know all these people through the years as friends and human beings.
Yeah, and it was a huge affirmation for me, because really that's what I felt called to do. Was
mm-hmm.
I felt what I heard the Lord say to me was, I want you to go and just be a Catholic amongst evangelicals.
Mm-hmm.
And not have an agenda other than fellowship.
Yeah.
And, you know, and jointly proclaiming sort of a Christocentric gospel to the world. The revelation of Jesus is both, he is the Son of God and he's the Savior of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think doing that together, you know, now, practically speaking, if Christians can be unified publicly in their proclamation of Christ, it shows a divided world that it's possible to have areas of agreement in the midst of so much disagreement. So it could be, you know, this could be a way in which the church, you know, because now, you know, that's the thing, is that, you know, Satan just doesn't want to destroy the church. He wants to destroy the human race.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, like, he wants to destroy man,
mm-hmm.
literally in the essence of, like, who we are. Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. There's
mm-hmm.
something about the human person that's unique in all of creation. So any way that that can be accomplished, he'll do it. And so obviously the disunity of the church is a wound to the heart of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we come together and develop relationship, it's a salve to that wound. And it, you know, I mean, full communion is something that is literally an act of the Holy Spirit, because it took the Holy Spirit for the church to be formed anyway.
Yeah.
So
sure.
If it took the Holy Spirit for the church to be formed, it's going to take the Holy Spirit for the church to be unified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like, you know, in a way that fits into the whole theme of the album, where you're each being echoes of your faith as part of this John 17 movement. And, you know, as we wrap up, I just wanted to ask one last question is, you know, what do you hope that listeners get out of listening to the album Echoes? What message or ideas do you want to leave them with outside of just an enjoyable musical experience, which it very much is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it hope my, you know, obviously my hope is that it helps them reframe how they're looking at life in the current age in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
And from a worldview and a lens that's more optimistic, it's more focused on declaring God's faithfulness rather mm-hmm. than just being fixated on how broken the world is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it empowers them to be able to do that even in the midst of suffering. You know, so many of the songs really are sort of a response to different aspects of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so my hope is that that would inspire people in their response to whatever hardships they find themselves or their families going through or their communities going through.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Matt Marr about his album Echoes. It's really a fantastic album, and it's both personal to Matt because it was shaped by the death of his father as he was working on the album, but it's also universal. The truths in these songs are universal. They're wonderful to listen to. They're reflective. They're upbeat and joyful, and we all talked about the importance of joy and just realizing that we're transmitting the echoes of our faith to the people around us, whether we do it consciously or not. That's just the way we are. So we should try to do it more consciously and with a cleaner heart, as the song on the album says. So Matt, thanks so much for making the album and for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Thanks. Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
The grace of God has a way of sneaking up on us. And if we're not paying attention, it might even slip right past us. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Opening Yourself to God's Grace. It will help you become more aware of the moments in your life when God makes his presence known in unexpected ways. Moments that can draw beauty out of brokenness and allow you to experience the depths of his love. To request your free copy of Opening Yourself to God's Grace, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineers for today's show are Yuri Oriente and Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.